Hey guys, welcome to Debunked, where we discuss quite literally everything about anything. My name is Somei, and I'll be your host today along with...
Kylums.
And without further ado, let's get right into it. Bum, ba-da-dum, da-da-dum, da-da-dum, bum. So as you guys may know, yesterday, or as of recording this yesterday, but on Saturday, November the 7th, the election was called. The 2020 presidential election race was called in the favor of Joseph R. Biden Jr. And to be honest, the people I know are rejoicing. I know there's a lot of people who must be disappointed as well. But this one election is interesting, even the aftermath, because I don't think we have seen anything like it before in American history, have we?
Well, I'm not so sure about that, but yeah,
I mean the refusal to concede, I haven't heard of it.
Yeah, that, if you're referring specifically to that aspect, then yeah.
Yeah, so we're gonna pretty much break everything down right now, and from the start, we obviously have to start talking about how this overall election and the counting of the votes went, and you know how everything was going during that time. So, Kailash, why don't you start us off?
All right. So, on election night, it looked like Biden was definitely gonna lose. You know, we had like Florida was called pretty early, that went for Trump, and so did North Carolina wasn't called, but it was Trump had a big lead there. And this was part of like the red mirage where it kind of looked like Republicans were going to win, but it was just like their early in-person votes that made it look like they were going to win. And like the mail-in votes hadn't been counted yet. So for many people, that was a pretty scary day. But right after that, slowly
Biden
over time.
Started to catch up.
Yeah. Over time, Biden like began to take the lead in many states. And, eventually, he just got to the 270 needed yesterday. You know, he picked up Pennsylvania, Arizona, Nevada, Michigan, Wisconsin, and he looks likely to pick up Georgia as well.
But Georgia still hasn't been called.
It hasn't been called, but it's likely that that's what will happen.
So the essence of it is through votes, through popular vote and electoral votes, Biden has won. Trump has actually been the first presidential candidate who has lost a popular vote two times and still managed to snag one presidency. So props on that. But as of right now, what most of us are worried about is him wanting to concede or not. Other than that, I know that there's a lot of people who are rejoicing, and there's been some key moments, even from that CNN news anchor, I forgot his name, Van Jones, right?
Yeah,
he had crying. A viral Twitter moment. I mean, I honestly would have too, but like I was just so sick of it after 4 days of counting. And then again, like I know Biden is still not exactly a progressive. He's still pretty much a right moderate. Honestly, he should be a moderate Republican even. But he's still better than Trump, in my opinion. You know, lesser of the two evils. We've said that on a previous episode here, right?
Yep. He's definitely.
Yeah. So it's going much better. I'm a little bit more hopeful for America again. I had like plans to dip out for college. So I'm happy that I don't have to rely on that one safeguard to go to another country for college. But, you know, things can still go south here very fast. I think Van Jones himself said a week earlier in a TED Talk that I listened to where, you know, Trump can still technically lose the popular vote and the electoral vote and still stage a coup and stay as president. So we still have to be very cautious.
No, here's the thing, right? Like, that's not a plausible scenario. Like, yeah, theoretically it could happen.
Theoretically it can happen.
But he actually, he needs like the support of thousands of government employees. And like, let's be real, there's no world in which that
Even his
happens.
own Republican Party is starting to move away from him.
Yeah.
Tweet from like v ambiguous tweets from Mitch McConnell and Mitt Romney are criticizing, or they're not criticizing, but they're saying that the legal votes will be counted and the rightful person will be in presidency.
Yeah.
So I'm a little bit more hopeful. I hope they realize that they kind of made a mistake with Trump.
Yep.
Because, I'm not against Republicans or anything per se. Economically, I would rather support them, but like the circumstances right now are demanding for
A
a
much
much
different
more
president.
different approach. Yeah, our approach in leadership. America has been divided pretty much the entire way through. It's a super polarized atmosphere. So far, I haven't actually heard of any rioting though after Biden was called.
Yep.
So I'm actually very happy about that. There
Oh.
were fears of massive riots happening and like people like the Proud Boys or the KKK kind of just, brandishing their guns and I don't know, doing something very, very bad in the aftermath of the election. Never happened, so.
Oh, but like here's the thing though. That kind of that threat was overstated because if you think about it was probably better that the vote count took this long, because if then the Republicans, like the Trump supporters, would have just gotten mad that Biden had taken a commanding victory on election night, and they would have that's what would have made them march in the streets. But now that it was like a slow victory, like over time, they don't feel as inclined. Now they're just focusing on like calling out the Democrats for voter fraud.
So it's like the impulse or like the aftershock of Trump losing was kind of distributed through a very long period in time rather than
Yeah.
a short one. So it wasn't as sudden or as destructive in its capabilities in terms of I mean not in terms of for the Trump supporters, the radical Trump supporters, but I mean, overall, though, I feel like things are going to turn out well. I'm a little bit more optimistic. There have been a lot of historical firsts with Biden being elected president, mostly in the case of Kamala Harris. She's the first woman to become the vice president. She is the first woman of color to become the vice president. She is the first person of color to become a vice president. She is the first African American in a vice presidency and a person of South Asian descent. excuse me, a person of South Asian descent in the vice presidency. So, I mean, there's a lot of historic firsts. They made a very inspiring speech yesterday too, right?
Yeah.
I remember there were a couple of notable moments, especially from Kamala Harris, where she said that a girl can look towards her and be hopeful, look towards America. And actually dream rather than, saying that society won't accept me or whatever, accept me as a person in power.
Yeah, and like that set like an inspiring example for many. And like that's like kind of the power of this whole thing.
I really am looking forward to see how they try and bring together the American public because I feel like what's more crucial than any immediate crisis we may have, even in terms of climate change, the first order of business is to kind of reunite the people so that things can go smoother in the future,
Yeah.
And obviously, that's a very, very demanding task. Almost, I mean, I think Biden is going to have to make some Lincoln moves, and I'm air quoting here because Lincoln was responsible for holding together the Union. He had to make some tough decisions. And, after the Civil War ended, his leadership actually played a very big key part in terms of holding or preserving the Union together, so that there wasn't any dissent or any rioting after the Civil War ended.
Yeah, and I mean, even then, he was like really unpopular for what he did. Like, now we look
Yeah.
back on him, but Yeah, that's going to be one of the biggest challenges, especially if Trump doesn't concede, because like there's not much you can do if like a good percentage of the country believes that they were like duped into that they were duped by Democrats into like winning, like Biden winning.
Yeah, I feel like his Biden's job will be a little bit. I mean, it's going to be different than Lincoln's, obviously, but the challenge is pretty much the same. And there's an addition over here in Biden's case where Biden is dealing with, a populace that doesn't necessarily know what the truth is or can't agree on what the truth is.
Yeah.
Everybody has their own opinions of truth, and that's actually what kind of increases the entropy in the American geopolitical landscape. And by entropy, I just mean chaos. There's a lot more headbutting and people fighting over who's right and who's not. And that especially kind of is aggravated by the fact that nobody can conclusively convince the other person what the truth is. Facts just don't hold the same value anymore. So
I
he's gonna have
mean,
a very big challenge.
yeah, and I mean, this is gonna be something remembered on in history just because, there's just so much that we dealt with this year, the pandemic.
Yeah, it's horrendous, but I feel like with the pandemic and everything that we've gotten to learn from this year, I feel like it's gonna kind of impact the new normal
Yep.
for the coming years. So he's also going to have to kind of rehabilitate people into that and remember that there's no going back from what we have now.
Yep. I mean, his first course of action, like, apparently is to, start a COVID task force so that, like, they can get the virus under control, which is doubly important because I believe it was yesterday they reported 126,000 new cases of coronavirus in one day in this country, which is
A new
unimaginable.
record,
That's a world
unimaginable.
record.
That's kind of sad too, because America prides on being first in so many things, even though it's not really anymore. And now the things that it is first in are the things that nobody wants.
Yep, sadly.
So I feel like there has been a fall from grace, but hopefully in the coming time, Biden, his administration, and the government can get their act together, because this is a time where, nobody should be looking to their party allegiances or their personal interests. This is a time where we have to unite. And if we fail to do so, it will either be remembered in history as one of the worst times, or there won't be a history to remember because we won't be there. Because we're dealing with a lot of existential crisis here, crises here.
I don't necessarily think it'll be that bad, but definitely, yeah. We really
The latter
needed
was
this.
definitely going to be like, is going to be much more extreme, but like the first case, which I mentioned, where it's going to be remembered as a bad time in history, that will be more plausible.
Yep. Time when we couldn't get the plague under control. That's not something we want to be remembered as. 'Cause think about how we look at the Black Plague now, right?
Yeah, this is definitely very, very crucial for us to kind of take hold here. But now I feel like we've overstressed the importance or the kind of significance of this moment in time. I feel like we should change topics now and move on to any potential. There's a lot of talk of voter fraud,
Yeah, we
Is
should
there
debunk
anything
that.
moving along on that front? Do you have anything to say about that?
Right. So, the Trump campaign and like a bunch of supporters are claiming that there was massive vote rigging and like election fraud and stuff. And all I can say is there's simply no evidence for that, for any of that. All the votes were legally counted and cast according to state law. And this is just all I can say is this is probably just a way of coping because there's absolutely no evidence that there was any fraud at all. And every any bit of evidence that they can provide is usually flimsy. So it's just important to say, you know, everyone should have full faith in the election because it was completely, you know, fair. There was no sort of one-sided support or vote rigging of any sort.
Yeah, and then again, this process of election has been one of the few secure things that Americans have been able to trust over the course of its history, excluding the time when Lincoln got elected and the Civil War started, right?
Yep.
When people stop trusting in something as fundamental to the American democracy as this, I feel like we're not far from descending into a state of anarchy or like a state of chaos from which we cannot recover. So this is, I feel like people should be more, yeah, people being more watchful here are good, but like, people giving way to conspiracy theories of voter fraud and dead people voting. People said kids, some politicians are claiming kids voted. And how would that even happen? You know, things like that. People are just, and people are fanning the flames.
So basically, I think it's just wrong for people to believe in such misinformation. And it's very dangerous for the country because if you can't even trust in something as basic as the process of like choosing your elected officials, then that's the point when a country will begin to break apart, where there will be internal strife, and that's the last thing we need like during a time like this, especially this year with the coronavirus, where we all need like that, where we all need to have trust in our government and not, you know, actively like protest against it or fight it.
And speaking on the part of, you know, protesting and fighting, there have been people who've been claiming, I mean, a lot of Trump supporters have been reacting to this election by saying they're going to go to Alaska or leave the country or whatever, right? I have a little, okay, hold on. Let me backtrack here. So there have been a lot of people talking about leaving the country simply because Trump didn't get elected. And he did claim in one of his rallies where a lot of his rallies where he might as well leave if he doesn't get the presidency, you know? And a lot of people are trying to follow his example. My problem here is that there's a lot of Biden supporters or Democrats who are encouraging, Democrat supporters who are encouraging them and, you know, kind of egging them on and spitting the hate back at them, you know, using Trump's words against them or using the Trump supporters' words against them, that if you don't like this country, why don't you just leave and all of that. I feel like words like those will just only encourage disunity in a time when we need unity so badly. So this is a little bit on, this is a fault that's on the side of the Democrat supporters or people who are actively hating on Trump supporters. You know, they're misguided. They're not generally vengeful people or hated. They're just misguided through misinformation. And I really think that we should make an effort to be better and kind of, you know, reunite America. Reuniting America is not only Biden's responsibility, you know. The people themselves should want to reunite with each other.
Yeah, I mean, it's important to note that this is just an election. We're not, like, enemies, you know, right? You know, you have to treat other people with respect, even if you don't agree with them on anything. You have to treat them with respect. You have to try to politely understand their viewpoints and, you know, engage with them constructively, because just yelling at them or like trolling them isn't going to do anything useful.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to make progress happen, you have to take the step forward rather than just heckle at each other. You have to put your hand forward and be ready to shake the hand of whoever comes in front of you, regardless of whether or not you agree with them, because that's what a democracy is. That's what it hinges on, right? People being united even through disagreements.
Yep.
So now that we're done with that, or done with talking about all of that, the last thing we would want to discuss is actually Trump's reaction, Trump's own personal reaction. So Kailash, do you have any words for that?
Yeah, so I just want to say that he seems to not be taking this well. You know, he's claimed, of course, he's repeated the same baseless claims of voter fraud, and he's directed his campaign and people like Rudy Giuliani to like go to each of these states and file lawsuits claiming that there was voter irregularities and voter fraud. And, you know, again, this is dangerous for democracy. The fact that, you know, he's claiming that he's the one that who actually won, which he did. And he claimed that Biden's victory was not actually real. It was fake, and that the election was stolen from him. And it's, of course, dangerous because he's not accepting the results like he should. That being said, you know, that was his most recent statement that, you know, Biden shouldn't declare victory because he's the one, because Trump's like the one who legitimately won this election.
He had legal votes is his argument, right?
Yeah. He hasn't given any further statements, I guess, on it. But it's fair to say that, you know, at some point he will have to accept the result.
Yeah, no, this is very, very, very troubling to hear about. But I don't think there is any, since there is no validity to his claims, a lot of state Supreme Courts have actually already denied his motion, his motions. So I feel like in the end, he's just going to make a big fuss and, you know, it might take some more work to get him out of office. My problem with this is he's setting a horrible precedent. I mean, precedent for the presidents that are to come, you know. What if they try and follow his example or maybe take it up a notch? We really can't predict everything that's going to happen. But slowly, if people start following his examples enough, democracy, the American democracy itself will start to unravel.
All right. So essentially, you know, we have some hope that Trump will do just what Hillary Clinton did in 2016 and, you know, concede because he has, in fact, lost the election, because it would be, it would set an incredibly dangerous precedent and would be very dangerous for this country if he just decides that, you know, he is still the legitimate president and refuses to leave the White House or give up his position. That being said, you know, there's still a chance that he may not, and that's incredibly, you know, this country should get ready for that possibility. Somi, you have any thoughts?
I feel like one of Biden's campaign manager's statements sums it up perfectly. He said that when the time comes for Biden's inauguration, any trespassers will be removed from the White House, regardless of whether or not these trespassers want to be moved. So, I mean, I feel like Trump is going to be removed. Now it's his choice whether it's going to be unceremoniously or through grace or the little grace he has left. He doesn't have any real grace to show anymore. But the little grace he can muster up in the ending days of his presidency. And gosh, I really hope he doesn't run for 2024 after this.
Oh, because here's the thing, right? Even if he does try to run, like,
I feel like
party has soured on him. Like, that's it. You know, he couldn't win re-election this year. Too bad. They're just going to let him go. And it's time for other people to take his place.
Yeah, that's what I think, that's what parties do to all one-term presidents. Ah, other than Grover Cleveland, that dude was different. He was built different.
Yeah, he didn't serve two consecutive terms. He just went and then, like, came back later.
Before we leave off, there's a really quick word from our sponsors. So stay tuned for our next episode where we will discuss something new and break down everything for you. It would be appreciated if you guys could drop us a like and write us a review on your preferred platforms. Go check out our website for more information and check us out on Instagram. Share our podcast with your friends if you liked it. We're really grateful for those of you who've been tuned in so far, and we hope you guys can grow along with us on this journey wherever it takes us. And hit that outro!